Our reading for today is from the Gospel of St. John, the 20th chapter, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands, and put out your hand, and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our meditation on God's word today, we welcome Pastor Robert Holston, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Closter, New Jersey.
Our text of the day is John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. This past April, during a midweek Lenten soup and sandwich meal at one of our sister churches, I had the privilege of sitting down with a family, which included a school-aged child named Liam. Liam plays the piano. He played Beatles songs from memory that day, and he's good. Liam likes Star Wars movies. That gave us something to talk about as well. But Liam also loves Jesus. Liam had a book with him that day that told stories from the life of Jesus. When Liam came to the page with Jesus' crucifixion on it, he said, "I don't like to look at that page. It makes me sad. Sometimes it even gives me nightmares." Liam's not the only one who has trouble looking at that page. If seeing Jesus' crucifixion in a book or movie, or in the scriptures and hymns of Good Friday, can affect us so deeply, think for a moment what violence was done before the eyes of Jesus' loved ones and disciples. Good Friday must have seemed like a nightmare to Jesus' disciples. It's the day their hope and their salvation literally died. Yet 3 days later, as Jewish people count days, Jesus' tomb was empty. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, Peter, and the Emmaus disciples on Easter day. Then Jesus appeared to the 10 disciples gathered in the upper room on Easter evening. Jesus spoke peace to his disciples. Jesus spoke forgiveness to his disciples. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Jesus showed his disciples his hands and feet. Jesus ate a piece of fish to show his disciples that he wasn't a ghost. But Thomas missed that meeting. When the other disciples told Thomas what had happened, Thomas refused to believe it. Perhaps he thought, "I followed Jesus for 3 years. I had my heart broken on Friday. You ask me to believe again? I can't face that page anymore. I won't," Thomas said. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Sometimes we think that believing and putting our faith in Jesus is up to us. Sometimes we think we have to pull ourselves up by our own spiritual bootstraps. "Come on, believe," we say to ourselves through gritted teeth. That struggle can leave us very frustrated with ourselves. That struggle can leave us angry and frustrated with God. But faith isn't our work. Faith is God's creation from beginning to end. In his explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, Dr. Martin Luther reminds us that we cannot by our own reason or strength believe in Jesus or come to him. The Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel, enlightens us with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps us in the true faith. Once many years ago, on a break from summer camp at Mount Tremper, New York, I went to hear a friend preach at a Lutheran church in Kingston, New York. In his sermon, seminary student Jim Kerner said, "It's okay and even good to pray, help me to believe in you, God." It was a relief to hear Jim say that. Such a prayer takes faith out of our court. Such a prayer puts faith in God's hands and power. That's where faith belongs. A week later, Thomas was with the other disciples in the upper room. Jesus came into their midst. Jesus, whom Thomas had watched die, spoke peace to all his disciples. Then Jesus spoke to Thomas in particular. "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Before this, Thomas could not and would not believe. Now Thomas met Jesus face to face. We call Thomas Doubting Thomas because of that week of anguished doubt in his life. We can also call Thomas Believing Thomas or Confessing Thomas. When he saw Jesus, Thomas exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." Thomas' confession is a high point in the whole Gospel of John. Thomas' confession tells us plainly who Jesus really is, our Lord and our God. Jesus walks with us and listens to us in the midst of our doubts. Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus paid the price in full for the sins of the world with his own blood. The risen Jesus comes into our midst in his word whenever we open and read the Bible. Jesus places his own word in our hands. We read his word with our eyes, we hear his word with our own ears, and in the times God's Holy Spirit brings us to God's altar, Jesus gives us bread and wine to eat. In with and under the bread and wine, Jesus gives us his very own body and blood. We can certainly pray in the midst of all of life, "Lord, help me believe in you." That's a prayer God has promised to answer. "Whoever comes to me," says Jesus, "I will never turn away." In your cross and empty tomb, dear Jesus, you give us hope, victory, and life. Help us to believe in you and to confess you with boldness and joy. In your holy name we pray and say, Amen.
We thank Pastor Robert Holston from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Closter, New Jersey, for today's meditation on God's Word.